Okay, so shalom aleichem, and thank you for coming, thank you for the effort. The topic that I chose for today, I figured I would discuss something that would be relevant for everybody, for myself also. Whenever I have a chance to prepare a shiur, it's not only for those that are listening to the shiur that are part of it, but it's also for myself. So I figured I'd pick a topic that I wanted to work on myself, and then I could hopefully gain for myself. And I think a topic that's shavah l'chol nefesh, that no matter where a person is in life, it's something that we could work on. The topic that I chose was bitachon, but I think, I don't know if the title ever made it around to those that came, but I want to actually speak about flexing or working on strengthening our bitachon muscles. Try to explain a little bit what that means and what the what the objective of that topic means, what that concept is about, and that's Hashem. Hopefully, we'll all walk out of here with some thought and some ideas of how to practically work on every tachon. That's the goal. If that happens, then we did well. If not, so then we did it. But hopefully, we will. So I want to begin a little bit with the topic of emunah. Now, what's emunah? What's bitachon? So I teach a class, happened to be in Mechalash, an event class, called emunah bitachon. That's also part of why I picked this topic. Chazon Ish is a sefer emunah bitachon. So he spends the first parak describing emunah, and the second parak describing bitachon. And many people think that they're different things. Many people think that emunah is emunah, faith and trust, whatever that means. Faith is emunah, bitachon is trust. This is even in English. Translation of the Sefer, which is called Faith and Trust, so maybe that's the pshat. One is faith and one is trust. Great. And what's it about? Let's begin with emunah a little bit. What's emunah? So I don't think, and I don't have the Sefer in front of me, but I don't think the Chazanish really actually defines emunah in the whole first paragraph. It doesn't say emunah is X. I think if you read the Sefer a little bit, and you see that emunah in the Chazanish's world is the clear recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. He begins by describing a lot of biology and the human body and the wonders of Seichel and the wonders of all different parts of human existence and animal life. And he doesn't define emunah and say emunah is X. But the picture that you get when you learn the first paragraph of emunah bitachon is that emunah is an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He begins to say it by saying, a person looks at the world one day and says, ah, this world is an absolute chida stuma v'chasuma. It's a riddle, which is an unanswerable riddle. Like, how do I make sense out of this world? It's impossible. What's going on over here? And like, whoa, overwhelmed with like, wow. And then with time and with thought and with focus and with concentration and with all of that, a person says, you know, there's a Baruch Shalom in the world. But I want to just talk in a very realistic way with you about emunah for a second before we get to bitachon, and that is that a person shouldn't think that emunah. Thank you very, very much. Emunah is an all or nothing kind of thing. It's not true. Emunah is an all or nothing, and emunah, as we're going to try to explain for a few minutes now, is a very, very complex topic. Let me explain. There's a pasuk that says, "Betach ba'Hashem va'aseh tov." Trust in Hashem, do good. Shchon ba'aretz u're'eh emuna. Live in this world. U're'eh means, what's re'eh? With an ayin. Shalom aleichem. Re'eh means, from the word re'eh, what's a ro'eh?
Shepherd.
It's a shepherd, good. Re'eh emuna. It's actually a beautiful sefer written by Moshe Shapiro on emuna called Re'eh Emuna. It's in this pasuk. Shchon ba'aretz u're'eh emunah. What does it mean to shepherd faith? What does it mean to shepherd emunah? So what's a shepherd? So a shepherd is a person who shepherds, that's a verb now, shepherds his flock, shepherds his sheep. To shepherd faith means that a person is supposed to work on their faith. A person is supposed to, the same way a person who's a shepherd takes care of the sheep, he works on the sheep, he brings them here, he brings them there, he's always constantly focusing on what they need and their needs and trying to make sure that they're taken care of properly. When it comes to a person's emunah, it's the same thing. There's a re'ei emunah, there's a shepherding, there's an investment that a person has to make in their emunah. And that's a very, very important point. It's not that, yeah, okay, I have it or I don't. You know, I'm a mammon or I'm not. No, a person has to invest in their emunah. There's a big avodah for a person to invest in their emunah. In fact, a very nice pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that Hashem is going to ask us certain questions after we leave this world. According to one version of the Gemara, the first question Hashem is going to ask us is, Nasata v'nasata be'emunah. Nasata is spelled nun sin aleph taf. Nasata v'nasata be'emunah. Pasha pshat in that Gemara means, were you honest in business? Masa umatan is business. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is, were you honest in your business dealings? But some of the later interpretations, this is not pshat, this is more of a drash, they say a beautiful thought. Nasata v'nasata means, did you struggle? Did you work hard? Be'emunah. Meaning, Hashem's going to ask us, did you work on your emunah? Did you struggle with your emunah? Did you deal with it? Did you think about it? Did you invest in your emunah? That's a question that Hakadosh Baruch Hu asks us. Nasata v'nasata be'emunah. You know why? Because emunah needs investment. Emunah needs effort. Emunah needs a person to be thinking about it and mindful about it and working on it. It's a constant struggle and a constant avoda that a person is supposed to have when it comes to emunah. And just two more points of introduction of emunah, and that's as follows. Others point out that the word emunah, a little etymology, the word of emunah comes from the word imun. What is the word imun? It's a little bit of a modern word. Anybody know what imun is? Train. Not like a train that you ride, but to train, excellent. Like a trainer. Some people go to a personal trainer, right? But what do they do? They train you. They train you for exercise. They train you to work on certain parts or whatever training you go for. Emunah is training. That's exactly what it is. A person's training themselves, working on ourselves to train ourselves to have emunah. Definitionally, it's train yourself. But it means work on it. Train yourself. Better yourself. Invest in your emunah. Just one final point of introduction on emunah for a second. And that is, Rabbi Rutursky said, this is, I think it's a very, very profound but simple idea. Chazish also says this in the Sefer. Emunah is definitely not all or nothing. You look at a certain person, and you say, is this person a ma'amin? Are they a believer? So, it's not like all or nothing. It's not yes or no. There's a tremendous amount of levels and range in emunah. I'll prove it to you. There's 13 alimamins. True or false? True or false? It's not a trick question. True, thank you. There are 13 alimamins. And they all begin with the same four words. Animamin, be, emunah shlema. That's a goal. That's the ultimate. The ultimate is animamin, emunah shlema. But there's a lot of... There's animamin that's not emunah shlema also. There's animamin. I'll give you an example, a simple Pashto example. Everybody probably in this room knows somebody that doesn't fast on Yom Kippur. I'm sorry, that fast on Yom Kippur. Maybe they also have a Pesach Seder, but that's it. And two times a year they practice their religion, right? Or fill in the blank. Like maybe they keep Shabbos, maybe they make Kiddush on Shabbos, and then they watch TV on Shabbos, Hashem Yishmor. Good? Are they believers in Hashem? Are they ma'amin? What would you say? Yes or no? Yeah, right. So the answer is yes, they are ma'aminim. Are they ma'aminim emunah shlema? Far from it. If a person doesn't keep 613 mitzvot, or at least try their best to keep 613 mitzvot, that's not emunah shlema for sure. The Gedolei Hador are working on their emunah still. What does that even mean? I can't imagine. What does that mean? It means, yeah, on their madriga, emunah is never ending. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And belief in Him is also infinite levels almost of emunah. And therefore, the person never finishes their emunah, as we'll see soon from different ideas in the Chazal. A person never ends in their emunah. It's an avodah gedola ma'od. It's a tremendous avodah to work on an emunah. So let's just summarize so far. What is Emunah? Emunah is awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the fact that a person recognizes, lives with Hashem. Emunah is the pasuk in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Samid. A person is constantly aware of Hashem's presence, constantly focused on Hashem around him. And that's, again, there's a range. Some people, Yom Kippur Jews, Shabbos Jews, Pesach Jews, and some people are mamish living with Shivisi Hashem, the Negdi Samid. Every step they take, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with them, is totally about them. Good. That's Emunah, no? Not bad. I don't think we did full justice to Emunah, but I think we spoke a little bit about what Emunah is about. Let me ask you a question, just to get us a little bit interactive for a minute. Why not? What's Bitachon? That's Emunah. So what's Bitachon? If you're in my class and trying to bet Michala, and I spoke about this, and you remember, you can point it out. If not, it's also fine. If you ever learned the Sefer, you can also chime in, or if you have any thoughts, what's Bitachon? If that's Emunah, if Emunah is Hashem awareness of Hashem, appreciation of Hashem in the world, so what's Bitachon? What's the difference between Emunah and Bitachon? Isn't that Bitachon also? Like, what's the difference? Go ahead.
Like, Emunah is like the belief, and then Bitachon is acting upon it.
Excellent. Who says that? You? Good. Anybody else? Anything else? Do I have a different shot? Any other thoughts? No?
I think it was maybe like how you live your life, like, accordingly, you believe in, like, how it goes into your actions every day.
Good. Excellent. So I want to read you a small paragraph from the Chazanish in his second paragraph called Bitachon. I want to just try to define a little Bitachon, and then I want to just talk some practical anecdotes, applications of what we'll speak about. Chazanish over here says the following thing. He begins by telling you what Bitachon is not. What is not Bitachon? What's not Bitachon? So he says, Bitachon is not that if I really trust in Hashem, so the good outcome is going to happen. That's not Bitachon. You know what that is, says the Chaznish? I don't know if I call it foolishness. You want to call it... until there's a Navi that will come and tell us the future, we don't even know what's going to be in the future. We can't, says the Chaznish. There's no way to know what, you know, the outcome of something. Who knows the ways of Hashem? So it can't be that if I have full bitachon in Hashem, I'll win the lottery. And if I didn't win the lottery, it must be that I have full bitachon in Hashem. That's not pshat bitachon. That's what bitachon is not. So what is bitachon? Says the Chazanish over here, just a very quick little nice line. Says the Chazanish, I'll tell you what bitachon is. Bitachon is the following. Very fascinating definition. He writes, "V'chasher adam nivgash b'migra." When a person encounters a situation that, according to natural order of the world, there's danger. What's an example? I don't know. A person's in a dangerous situation. Last week there was a storm, big storm in Israel. Unfortunately, people drowned. Achman Latzlan. Person's in a situation, chas v'shalom, in a precarious, dangerous situation. There's a flood around them. They might drown, chas v'shalom, Hashem yishmor. If a person's in a flood, they're probably pretty scared, no? I remember not too long ago, there was in America, like maybe 9 years ago, there was a crazy Hurricane Sandy. Remember Hurricane Sandy? I was in America for that. I lived in Israel, but I was in America. I was looking to go back to America for Hurricane Sandy. It was crazy. Crazy situation. One of my talmidim got married the night of Hurricane Sandy. The wedding actually took place, and then people started rushing home and scrambling, and it was crazy. I didn't get back to Eretz Yisrael. Happened to be at a Shabbaton house that Shabbos with my talmidim. We were supposed to get back. All the flights were canceled for days. Rabbi David from Torah Raga and I were both in America for the Tzchasna. He stayed with me in my parents' house for a few days. Unexpectedly, we were hoping to go back earlier. We drove together to Philly on a Thursday morning to make a flight from Philly back to land in Israel Friday so we could be back for Shabbos, for Shabbaton here. It was pretty crazy. There was miles of lines waiting on the highway for gas, because there was no gas. We couldn't get gas. People needed gas. It was an insane situation. Crazy. The person's in that situation. It's pretty scary, no? It's a hurricane situation. It's pretty scary. People's houses were flooded. My nephew, just to tell you, I'll give you that. My brother lives in Woodmere. There was tremendous flooding in Woodmere at the time. And my nephew walked out of his house, and he saw a boat that was on the street, riding on the water, saving people from their floods. My nephew turned to my father, my brother, I'm sorry. My nephew said to my brother, "Daddy, we're going to die." He's a little kid, he was maybe 8 years old. He's a little scary kid also, but it's scary. I mean, hello? There's boats riding on the street where cars usually ride. That's pretty messed up. It's not a thing. Daddy, he didn't say it in a calm way. Like, "Daddy, we're going to die." Shem Yishmor. Very, very scary. No? Pretty scary? Very scary. Says the Chazon Ish, when a person is in that kind of situation, that's a pretty intense one. And Ukshas Rucho Yarpeyu, his intense feelings weaken his resolve. He writes, Milas Kor, when he reminds himself, She'ena Mikra Adoni Alanu, that this situation is not in control of him. V'she'en Ma'atzor La'Hashem Miloshia, Chadosh Baruch Hu has nothing lacking from saving this person. Hashem can prepare ways to get him out of this mess, to extricate him from this mess, just like he got into this mess. When a person internalizes at that moment this truth, ki ein kan lefan of shum pegara miyad hamikre, there's no clear bad in front of him. Rak hakol meito yizbarach, everything is from Hashem, bein l'tov bein l'mutav, whether it comes out good or other. Vasher, listen to these words, beautiful words. The shorash of his emuna calms him down and gives him strength, or her strength, to believe in the possibility of salvation, and that there is no more nitiya, that it's not more leaning towards bad than to good. That's called bitachon. Woo! Pretty amazing. I'm calm in that situation, Rahman al-Islam. Why? Because Hashem runs the world. My emuna kicks in, as was said correctly before, and allows a person to recognize that Hashem is in control. There's nothing else that could. There's no mikra in front of me. It's not like, okay, I'm stuck. It's 99% I'm going to die, but 1% I'll be fine. No, it's 50-50. It's not 60-40. It's, Hashem could, the same way He got me into this situation, get me out of this situation. I came from the old city street here. One of the Rebbeim, we had a track, an age discovery day in the old city. So I was there a little bit for the morning. And one of the Rebbeim told me, I told him when I was talking out here in Mechalas, so he came and he told me the following story. Maybe you heard this from Rav Melech Biederman. You know Rav Melech Biederman is? Anybody hear Rav Melech Biederman? No? I got to hear about him. He's big. He's tremendous. He's a tremendous mashpi on Eretz Yisrael. He actually writes, he gives a shir. It's very, very popular in Eretz Yisrael. And it's translated into English and into Hebrew and into, I think, a few other languages also. It's spread out around the world. It's called Torah Wellsprings.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. I know him. Yeah.
You know who he is?
Yeah.
They even have WhatsApps. I don't have WhatsApp, but my wife sometimes gets WhatsApps. They have WhatsApp updates. Oh, anyway, so Rav Melech, he's affectionately known as Rav Melech, Rav Melech. So he's a Hasidish Yid, he's a Hasidish Rebbe of sorts. He doesn't want to be a Rebbe, but he has a tremendous amount of Hasidic. He talks a lot about Amunah. He told the following story. It's an amazing story. There was a girl who was in the Holocaust, and she was from Hungary. And the Nazis invaded Hungary towards the end of the war, people know. And they sent as many as they could to Auschwitz, Rahman al-Islam, to annihilate as many Jews as they can. And this girl was told the following thing. You keep saying Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem, Pasuk Nasik Parsha, Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem. Say that over and over and over again, and that's it. You'll be fine. So she decided, no matter what comes, she's always repeating to herself, Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem, Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem, Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem, Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem, constantly. And there was a roundup one day in Hungary, in her city, and she was brought together everybody else in the crowd. And listen, she realizes, you know, her fate is very, very near. Who knows what's going to be, how much longer she's in the world. But she's not stopping. Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem, Yishuas Chakivisi Hashem. All of a sudden, a Nazi guard sees her mumbling to herself. Comes a little closer to her and listens to what she's saying. And he hears the word ki. Kivisi Hashem, over and over again. And supposedly in Hungarian, the word ki, check this out if you want afterwards, like, I hope I'm telling the story right, means free. And he understood that, like, she wanted to be free from the saying, Kivisi Hashem, Kivisi Hashem. So he turns to her and says, you want to go free? You want to escape? She's like, yeah. He's like, I'm going to turn around in a second. You run for your life. He turned around. She ran for her life. And she lived. She told the story about herself. That's nuts. That's a crazy story. That's unbelievable bitachon. That's like, I don't know, that's mamish this chazanish, I think, in a very, very, hopefully never real life situation, but it's a concept. I'm literally, my emuna is so real in Hashem, my emuna is so strong in Hashem, that it comes to practice, and I live on it. It doesn't mean that if Chalil v'chash would have been murdered like the other kiddushim, she wouldn't have, you know, what happened to her bitachon? No. Bitachon is, whatever Hashem wants to happen is going to be. And I believe that. And I know Hashem has a master plan. And I know that everything Hashem does is for a purpose and for a reason. I don't always know the purpose. I don't always know the reason. But everything Hashem does is for a purpose and for a reason. And that idea, that concept governs my behavior. I live with that. When situations come in life that are hard to understand, I know that Hashem has a plan. Hashem is calling the shots from on high. He has a reason and a rhyme for everything that he does, and I'm at peace with that. I'm at ease knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control over what's going on. Many years ago, I had a Talmud who went through a very, very hard time, and he lost a close relative, Rahman al-Islam. Not long after that, they came to me and they said, I have a question. Do you have time for a question? I said, sure, it's out. Here's the question, they said to me. They said, we say on Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, Utshuva, Utfila, Utstaka, Ma'avir, and Esra, Agzer. Utshuva. There's Tshuva, Utfila, they daven, Utstaka, charitable, they get Utstaka, Ma'avir, Esra, Agzer. They said, you know, my relative passed away, he said, fulfilled that stuff, those three charges very, very well. Tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, he lived those things. What's going on? Isn't it? Where's the Ma'avir HaTorah Gezeirah? They didn't make it. They didn't live in this world. It's a very, very strong question, a very hard question to answer. A person that this is a very sweet boy, this boy. But the real answer to this question is that there is no answer to this question. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has cheshbon, so we don't understand. Emuna, bitachon, says, you know what? I believe that. I believe Hashem is in charge. I know Hashem is in charge. I know Hashem has a plan. And I don't always have to understand the plan. And sometimes I will and sometimes I won't. But I know that I'm at ease with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And he has a cheshbon. It says in Tefillah, Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Rezah, Rezah. What does that mean? How do you translate those words? That's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe it means Olam Haba. Maybe there's cheshbonos that are way beyond our understanding. That are way beyond our comprehension. It doesn't mean we have to understand everything. There's a famous expression that goes like this. To those who believe, there are no questions. And to those who don't believe, there are no answers. It's a very sharp, sharp phrase. One more time. Those who believe, there are no questions. Those who don't believe, there are no answers. Don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean you can't ask questions. It doesn't mean there's never time to ask questions. On Tisha, we ask the questions. We say to Hashem, what's going on? Where are you, Hashem? Eicha, 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 Hashem, Eicha, Eicha. We have a time for questions. We can ask once a year. We're allowed to ask questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how'd you do this? How'd you let Klal Yisrael suffer like that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how? And of course, a person has to think. A person has to understand and internalize and look at the world and try to get as much as they can out of it. But we have to live with it. Try to live with our emuna, make our emuna alive to a point that HaKadosh Baruch has a plan. Whatever he wants for me is what's good for me. Whatever he needs, whatever he wants to do for me is what's right for me. That's a very, very big point. I want to share with you a pasuk. A pasuk in Tehillim, a very nice pasuk. The pasuk is all the pasukim are nice in Tehillim. It says in Tehillim, "Va'boteach ba'Hashem." Who knows the end of the pasuk? Oh, that's not a test. "Va'boteach ba'Hashem chesed yisov b'venu." One who trusts in Hashem, chesed kindness, Yisov Ivenu will surround him. Very good. What's pshat in the pasuk? So I'd like to offer two pshatim in the pasuk. One pshat in the pasuk is V'abotech ba'Hashem Ches Yisov Ivenu means it's a schar. It's a reward. What's the reward? The reward is I trusted in Hashem. I put my faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm rewarded for it. We find reward for bitachon. Ala tzadikim, ala chasidim, ala zikni yamcha beis Yisrael, al pleita sofreim, al geri atzadik yalenu, yemu rachamecha Hashem alokenu. The same sachar tov le chol habotchim b'shimcha be'emes. That means we daven to Hashem. Hashem, please give sachar tov to those that trust in your name, be'emes, v'simchel kenu imahem, and we want our chilek to be with them as well. Le'olam, forever, v'lo nevosh, ki v'chava tachnu. Baruch atah Hashem, mish'anu mivtach atzadikim. So one pshat in that pasuk, in David HaMelech's pasuk of Avoteach ba'Hashem, ches yisov evenu, is that as a schar, as a reward for one's bitachon in Hashem, they will be surrounded with chesed. That's one pshat, which I think is an appropriate pshat in the pasuk. But in preparation for this class, this talk, so it occurred to me that there is another understanding over here. Maybe the pshat in this pasuk is "Va'boteach ba'Hashem chesed sovenu." It's not necessarily a reward, but rather it's a mitzias. What does that mean? It's a reality that a person has. When a person lives a life with bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's going to be surrounded by chesed. Everything he sees around him is going to be chesed. Because he lives with Hashem to a point that he realizes that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for a cheshbon, for a reason, it's for my best, it's in my best interest, it's good for me, and it's all chesed. It's all chesed. It's not like everything I see, everything that happens, if I trust in Hashem like I'm supposed to trust in Hashem, it's all chesed, it's all kindness of Hashem. That's what I see in the world. That's what surrounds me, because that's really what it is. When a person lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence around him, so then the metzias around him, not as a reward necessarily, just as a reality. He sees he has glasses. It's called bitachon glasses. And the same way, I don't know, you have 3D glasses. You see a whole different dimension. On Hanukkah, my family went to a virtual reality laser tag. You ever see that? It's so cool. I did it for a few minutes. You put on this 3D virtual reality place, and all of a sudden you're in a different world. And instead of shooting, like, you know, targets on a vest in front of you, shooting fake people in a virtual reality, it's a very, very cool experience. And you have a certain box that you're allowed to stay in. You should try it one time if you like that kind of stuff. It's fascinating. If a person's reality, a person's world view is Hashem, Eino Mavado, is Shivisi Hashem Menegdi Samit, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu all around him. So then... The reality around him is going to be one of V'aboteach ba'Hashem Chesed Chesed Yisrael Levenim. That's real bitachon. As was suggested before, bitachon is just taken like the Chazon Ish writes over here. Ula ha'amor, based on what we said, emuna v'aboteachon achasi, they're really the same. Two sides of the same coin. This is Oz Beis, Perek Beis, Oz Beis. Raka emuna hi mabat haklali. It's the general perspective of the person involved. The way a person looks at himself. Halacha. Halacha is the general halacha. Bitachon is action. Says the Chazon Ish, a very, very important point of bitachon. It's very easy for a person to be a baal bitachon when things are going well. When things are going good, yeah, bitachon, yeah. And bitachon l'Hashem, everything's going to go well. The Chazon's example is as follows. He says, imagine a person has a store, and the store is always full of customers, and he's raking it in. And as he's raking it in, he says, oh, yeah, how things going? Someone asks him, wonderful, oh. And I have bitachon l'Hashem, bitachon, it's going to be great. He says, the Chazon, that's not bitachon at all. There's no bitachon there. You know why? Because he has customers there that are paying him cash on the spot. And he's raking, you know, where's the bitachon? I don't need bitachon over there in that situation. That's not bitachon. You know why he's saying he has bitachon? Because it looks good. He's from, you know. So I have bitachon. You know, I have bitachon Hashem. That's not bitachon. That's fake bitachon, says the Chazon Ish. And he goes on to explain why fake bitachon is worse than no bitachon even. A different conversation. What's bitachon? Bitachon is that when a person has a challenge, when a person comes to a difficult situation, when a person faces a situation which is not exactly what they were hoping to face. Rahman al Tzalak could be an illness. Rahman al Tzalak could be maybe a lack of a parnasa, proper parnasa. It could be a situation where a person's looking for a shidduch and they can't find a shidduch. It could be a person that has trouble with one of their children, Rahman al Tzalak, or any plethora of other challenges in life. So many things in life which can arise in a person's life. At that point, that's when the real test of bitachon comes up. What do I do at that point? Do I start scrambling and I'm running here, I'm running there to try to figure out a way to fix it? Or am I calm? And I realize, you know what, I'm in Hashem's hands. And I realize that Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge of my life. And whatever He does for me is what I need exactly, not more, not less. And when a person lives like that, it's a whole different game, a whole different experience. Anybody in this class take Rabbi Azar's class? Anybody in this room take Rabbi Azar and Mechala? Remember Rabbi Azar? There was a very special Jew who taught Mechala. Rabbi Yosef Azar. He passed away this year, a few months ago, fortunately. He was a very, very beautiful Jew. I didn't know him that well. I knew him a little bit. But I was very inspired by a lot of things that I learned about him and from him, particularly things that I heard actually at his Levaya, and also things that I heard after he passed away. There's a chashuv rav in Boca Raton, Florida, named Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, Shlita, well-known, Boca Raton Synagogue, BRS. Not to be confused with RBS, where I live. BRS, Boca Raton Synagogue. Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, so Rabbi Azar spent the last few months of his life in Florida to try to get a certain treatment to help him with whatever he was going through. His parents lived in Boca. And that's how it went. I think Yom Kippur this year, he passed away soon after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur this year, maybe after Sukkot. Yom Kippur this year, so I think he was right on hospice. Hospice means, Rahman al Tzalak, that a person, doctors in the hospital basically give up. They say nothing else we could do. They bring a person to a home, to their home, oftentimes, with a hospital bed and nursing care. And a person in that situation lives out their life until the Ribbono Shel Olam decides to take the neshama back to them. So Rabbi Goldberg went to visit Rabbi Azar on Yom Kippur this year. I think it was Yom Kippur, maybe Erev Yom Kippur. And he saw Rabbi Azar was very, very sick, very, very frail, very, very weak. And he turned to him and said, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you. It must be so difficult to be in a position. He's a rav. He's a polished rav. He said probably the most gentle, sensitive words that could be said to a person in that situation. Rabbi Azar turned to him. Rabbi Azar is a chron racha. Turned to Rabbi Goldberg, Shlita, Lahavda ben Chaim Chaim, and said, don't worry. This is exactly what Hashem wants for me. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I'm shalim 100% with the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants this for me. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. This is what Hashem wants for me. This is the position He put me in, whatever chesbonos He had to put me in this situation. And this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what I'm here for. And that's it. Sof davar, hakol nishma. That's such a musar haskel. That's such an amazing musar for a person to have the clarity at that point in life, Rahman al Tzalak, towards the end of one's life, very short life, he was very young, to be able to have that clarity and say, whatever Hashem wants for me is exactly where I'm going to be. That's bitachon. That's bitachon. That is emuna, which wasn't just emuna, but it was. A moon that was worked on, it was a moon that was developed, that was lived, that was worked through Nasatav and Asatav, and went to a point where it reached the point of bitachon, it reached the point of, yeah, I'm living it, and this is exactly what Hashem wants, and I don't understand it. He left 10 yisomen, 10 orphans, Rahman al Tzalak. Many of them aren't even married. One is engaged, probably married by now, but was engaged then at the time. Very, very, very difficult situation. Almost impossible to understand. Good. Very good person, a tzaddik, a machanech, a vibrant personality, like a geshmaki yid, but a boter, but a mamet, but a person that whose emunah was so strong and clear and profoundly part of who he was. That's a tremendous legacy. I remember when I went to Menachem Avel, probably, I may have mentioned this before, I'm sorry if I didn't, for the Chazar, I went to Menachem Avel with my wife when Rebbe Tzimachlis on the Hashalom passed away. And there was one line that one of the daughters said at the time that mamish hit me like a ton of bricks. It was amazing. They said the following line. I think it's in the book, but I heard it live at the Shiva. They said like this. They said, my mother left this world very young. I think she was 50-something. I don't know, maybe 50s. Very young. 57, maybe. But she left us all the tools that we need to live in this world, she said. What tools are those? She said, our mother taught us, she gave us emunah. She gave us emunah. Our mother gave us emunah. She gave us tefillah. She gave us the midos and the emunah and the tefillah we need to survive in this world, to get through in this world. She didn't leave us physical possessions. She didn't leave us a lot of, you know. But she left us emunah. She gave us emunah. And now, like, okay, so we're going to have difficult times, we'll have good times, there'll be smachos, there'll be challenges, there'll be, but we're okay to handle it because our mother gave us emunah. Our mother gave us, how do you give a person emunah? It means that when I don't know what it means, I wasn't there, but I think what it means is that when you inject it so strong into children, when you put it into their kishka so much, when Hashem is everywhere, when you can mamish trust in Hashem, like she did sometimes when there was no food on the table, no money in the bank, and all of a sudden someone showed up at the door with a case of chickens a few hours before Shabbos, which she cooked the entire case full of her guests for Shabbos. I'm like, huh? How does that happen? Hello? That doesn't make any sense. But it wasn't like, okay, that's weird. Like, that happened more than one time in our house. Like, because Hashem is large, and Hashem is great, and Hashem is everywhere, and Hashem is right here, and Hashem is, that's a Muna living faith. That's a Muna with love and chicken soup, as the proverbial book goes. That's giving your child the greatest gift you can give your child. That's called living in Muna. Now, the title of the class, we're almost done, don't worry. Title was, how does a person work on flexing or strengthening their Muna muscles? So I want to just close with one Gemara, and then some hopeful, some practical, as much as I can, practical tips of how to do this. I'll try it. B'siyach Nishmaya. There's a famous Gemara in Maseches Brachos. Everyone knows it. The Gemara says, this is on Daf Samach Aleph Min Beis. It says the Gemara as follows. B'sha'a she'otzius Rabbi Akiva la'hariga, when they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, when the Romans murdered Rabbi Akiva, Zman Kriya Shmahaya. It was the time for Kriya Shema. Vayusorkim es besarov masrikos shel barza, and they took iron combs, and they literally, Rachmana Litzlan, were combing his skin with iron combs. Vayamikabel lavo malchus shemayim, and Rabbi Akiva was saying Shema. He put his hands over his head, over his face, and was saying Shema. Amru lo talmidav. His student said to him, Rabbeinu Adkan. Hello. Omar Lahem sent Rabbi Akiva back to his Talmidim. Kol Yomai Yisi Mitztayer. Al Pasuk Zeh. I was always worried about this Pasuk. B'chol Nafshecha. We say in Shema that we're supposed to love Hashem. B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. Afilu No Teles Nishmascha. Even if Hashem takes a person's life, we're supposed to love Hashem. Amarti. I said to myself, Masai Yavo Liyadi V'akayimena. When will I have the opportunity to do this and fulfill this Pasuk? And now that it came to my hands, I won't fulfill it. Says the Gemara famously, he was saying the word Hashem Echad for a long time, the word Echad, until his soul left this world with the word Echad. Unbelievable Gemara, no? You look at this Gemara, you're like, what? Akiva was like hoping to die? Al Kiddush Hashem? Is that what the Gemara means? Hard to imagine. He really was hoping for the day the Romans would catch him and they would be able to kill him? Like, it's not, I don't think it's the Pshat. Is that the Pshat? Probably not. He doesn't want to die. I don't think so. I think maybe the Pshat is, could take this or leave this, maybe the Pshat is that maybe Akiva was working on his bitachon his entire life. he was working on his emunah his entire life. When times were good for Rabbi Akiva, he was being mechazek his emunah. What does that mean? He was saying, Hashem runs the world. Hashem is in charge. Hashem is, I see Hashem. When good times happened to him in his life, he said, Hashem, thank you for the good that you gave me. When he was, everything is good, but when he was able to see the good, thank you Hashem for all the good that you gave me. I don't know, when he came to a pshat in a certain Gemara, and he finally figured out pshat, he was so excited with that pshat in the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving me das, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pshat in the Gemara. He was working on his emunah his entire life. He was working on being mechazek his emunah so much that finally he had a chance to express it. Not that he was hoping to die, but he was saying to himself, the work I did on my emunah every single day, nasata v'nasata be'emunah, the toiling in emunah was for a purpose, and now I'm able, Be'ez Hashem, to fulfill this. I don't want this. No one wants to be killed. But I worked on the emunah that I was working on for my entire life, and now I'm able to use it and put it to practice, to bitachon, to put it into practice, so that I can fulfill this pasuk of Yahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha. I was discussing this idea with somebody last night at a chasna. They told me that there was a shoemaker, Shlita. She mentions, she likes, in some of her vadim, she talks about this concept, and I don't hear her vadim. I wasn't so happy to hear any of her vadim. My wife sometimes shares me some things that she talks about with the shoemaker. But she mentioned, it's a nice phrase, I'm gonna crop it. But it's a beautiful thought. She said there's something called the bitachon bank. Bitachon bank. It's a bitachon bank, bank account. So you know, that bank account is as follows. A person makes money. They don't hopefully use every penny they make. They put some aside. Why? Because things come up in life. I don't know, there's a leak on your roof one day, you want to go on vacation one day. So you have a little money extra, hopefully a little more than a little bit extra put aside in your bank account, so that when time arises and the person needs to draw on it, they'll have what to draw upon. That's a bank account. That's a savings account. So what exists in the world of money, lahavdil, also we should try to work on in ourselves, in our own lives, to exist in our world of emunah and bitachon. What does that mean? It means every single day a person ideally can and should be putting emunah and bitachon into their bank account. Things are going well. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person's working on different brachos, on tefillah, asher yatzar, whatever bracha you're working on, whatever tefillah you're working on. A person's working on different part of their avodas Hashem. And by doing so, that's bringing them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they're doing really is, without even realizing it maybe, is depositing emunah and bitachon into their emunah and bitachon bank account. Being mechazik our emunah, working on it. Again, working on it doesn't mean I want to, Hashem send me a nisayon. I don't want a nisayon. I'm not looking for nisayonos. I'm looking for, we daven every single day, Hashem, please don't bring me to nisayon. I don't want nisayonos. But sometimes there are nisayonos. That's what life is about. In fact, Mishnah Sharm writes, in the first parak, that every single thing that happens to a person in life is a nisayon. Life is a test. There's a book like that called Life is a Test. I think Robertson Young Rush wrote it. Life is a test. Okay, life is a test. We don't want tests. We don't look for tests. We're not asking for tests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes we have tests. If life is a test, so then we're supposed to be preparing for this test as much as we can. How do you prepare for the test of life? By depositing emunah and bitachon into your bank account. It's one way. The more a person lives in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more a person realizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real and there in his life, the more a person thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're looking for a parking spot. Anybody from the five towns? Good, five towns. You're looking for a parking spot on Central Avenue. In the middle of a Sunday afternoon when everyone's there. Or I don't know when everyone's there. I don't live there. I used to live in Farakway. Yeah, and you're looking for a spot and you can't find one. Then you find mamash right in front of the store that you want to get a spot at. So you know what you do? You park, you put in your credit card for whatever time you're going to be there. Then you turn to the Moshe and say, Hashem, thank you for the spot. What did you just do? You just took a bitachon coin and put it into your bitachon bank account. Because you recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for the spot. Thank you, Hashem, for the spot. you do well on a test, you do well, you get a job that you want, you find things to go well for you more than you were expecting or not. That's a bitachon bank account. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in nature, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Torah, you learn a nice pshat. A nice pshat in a Tanakh. You go to a good shir, it's wow, it's an inspiring thought. You know what you're doing? Consciously, or hopefully, at least subconsciously, but maybe even consciously, I'm depositing more bitachon because I see Hashem more. I see a different picture of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Torah, from nature, from whenever I see Hashem, the more I live with Hashem in my life, the more I'm depositing into my bitachon bank account. And then, we don't ask for nisyonos. No one wanted to be in Rabbi Eliezer's position. Chas v'shalom. No one asked like Rabbi Akiva to come to a situation where they're going to comb his flesh with skin. No one wanted to be in Rabbi Tzimachas' position where literally, unfortunately, she was so young and snatched from this world. No one wants that at all. Has a person have the koach and strength and emunah and bitachon to deal with that situation when it comes? The answer is because you can't wake up one day and say, okay, now I have bitachon. It's impossible. Person's working on his entire life. Person's developing, nurturing. We began with the pasuk and it's in Tehillim. Patach b'Hashem, asei tov, shchon ba'aretz, ure'ei emuna. Shepherd. You're shepherding emuna. You're working towards bringing emuna from emuna to emuna shlema. Imun. Imun means you're training yourself, like we mentioned earlier, to come to the emuna. And then it comes from an idea of, like the Chazon Ish says, from a Mahalacha to Lamaisa, from a general to a specific way. A person looks at life, a person recognizes around him. Chesed Hashem, Ya'ap Hashem, Chesed Hashem, Venu. A person tries their best to live with Shivisi Hashem, Nenevi Tomir, with Yishilachla Kivisi Hashem. Then, we should never come to that Nisayon, but when Nisayonos come up, and they do come up in life, no one has a life without Nisayonos, doesn't exist. When they do come up, hopefully we'll have the tools, we'll have the strength, we'll have the bitachon, we'll have the siyata d'shmaya to be omer b'nisayon and to exercise our emunah and to practice our emunah. So I hope and pray that some of these thoughts were meaningful for some of you. They were for me. It was a schus to think about them and prepare them and to hopefully try to work on them myself. And we should be zoche to each one of us in our own lives to mechazik our emunah, to strengthen it every single day, Bez Hashem, to live as much as we can with this appreciation of Shivisi Hashem in the summer. Thank you very much for coming. A lot of hatzlacha. All areas. Sure. Just give me 1 second.